Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning, as a kind of follow-up to our meditation last Sunday, is the Thomasius Gospel selection, John chapter 10, reading from verse 1 through verse 10 as follows. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the incomparably good shepherd of his sheep, beloved hearers of his voice. On these Sundays after Easter, we have been exploring in wonder and amazement, in humility and in loving gratitude, the unique relationship that we enjoy with the Lord Jesus by virtue of his vicarious atonement for our sins and the reconciliation to God that he made possible for us who were his enemies by nature. In the most tender and picturesque language, he calls us his sheep and his lambs. He characterizes his church here on earth as his sheepfold. And he describes himself, as we heard in the gospel lesson last Sunday, as our good, incomparably good shepherd. Our provider, our leader, our defender, our Savior. And oh, how appropriate and accurate that imagery is, my dear hearers. For sheep are not the pristine, cuddly, and innocent-looking animals that they are so often pictured to us in paintings and sketches. Neither are they the most cooperative and easily controlled of all domestic livestock on the farm. Why, sheep aren't really very smart as animals go. And they certainly cannot look out for and take care of themselves, even as chickens do, or as pigs do. They need constant care. They need shepherding. They need someone there on the spot 24/7 to keep them from wandering loose and wandering free and getting themselves into trouble, perhaps even killed. But as filthy and smelly and defenseless, and to top it off, stubborn as well as sheep are here in this world, shepherds love them. And the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, loves us, in spite of many of those very same qualities which we find in earthly sheep. He knows our needs. He well provides us. He pastures us in His Word. He leads us beside the still waters of His Gospel. He keeps us on safe pathways. And He boards us in the security of His sheepfold, safe from spiritual predators and wolves and rustlers. And although our good shepherd promises to be with us always, even unto the end of the world, He has placed His flock and His fold here in this world in the immediate or temporary care of under-shepherds who are to feed His sheep, who are to feed His lambs, who are to watch for their souls, taking the oversight thereof as stewards in His service. Each one with a particular flock of his own to care for in the stead and on behalf of Christ, the chief shepherd, as the Apostle Peter calls him. Each shepherd, for that is what the word pastor means, has to give account for the sheep and lambs entrusted to his care. Either with joy over those who hear the Good Shepherd's voice, grow in grace and in the knowledge of His precious word, and resist their adversary, the devil, or with grief over those who resist instruction, resent oversight, and ultimately regress in the faith to the point that they are devoured by their adversary. In any case, the shepherd has to give account. Now, in our text for today, the Savior points out, however, that His sheep have the singular responsibility of making sure that they are cared for by a faithful steward. For theirs is the responsibility of distinguishing between spiritual shepherds. The task is much easier, of course, than it could be, for the Lord Jesus identifies for us only two kinds of shepherds, between which we must distinguish. Two kinds of shepherds that are interested in His sheep. First, false shepherds, who are really thieves and murderers. and true shepherds whose voices are readily and easily recognized by his true sheep. The welfare of his sheep, your welfare and the welfare of your children, depends on how carefully and how accurately you distinguish. Fortunately, the chief shepherd does not leave this up to your subjective judgment for you just to pick and to choose shepherds of your liking. He does not leave this up to your subjective judgment as to whether you like or dislike a particular shepherd personally. But he makes the identification process between faithful shepherds and unfaithful shepherds, between true shepherds and false shepherds, objectively simple by means of clear and obvious contrasts, which he lays out before us in this text. He begins by saying, "Verily, verily I say unto you," this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we might say today, "he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And then Jesus adds a little later on, by way of explanation, "I am the door of the sheep." Now, some who represent themselves as shepherds or spiritual leaders and feeders of Christ's sheep steal their way into the sheepfold. They don't wait for the valid call of a Christian flock. They don't wait for the door to grant them access to his sheep and lambs. They just climb over the wall and help themselves. One of the clearest examples of such spiritual thieves nowadays is a so-called televangelist who waltzes right into your very homes over the airwaves and begins to manipulate sheep that in most cases already belong to someone else's flock. He knows full well that the shepherd of those sheep isn't right there in their home to warn them against his wily tactics, against his false doctrine, his false teaching. And so, late at night, while the sheep's guard is down and he is engaging in sleepy-eyed channel surfing, the false shepherd scrambles up over the wall and drops in, unannounced, to move quietly from sheep to sheep in the still of night, seeking to gain an audience, seeking to tell the sheep something that perhaps they haven't heard before, seeking the confidence of a gullible one, a self-assured one, a spiritually sleepy or drowsy one here and there, bent on stealing away a few of them before anyone is the wiser. And such poor victims, when they wake up spiritually, may come to their own pastor and say, "Pastor, I heard a pastor say the other day so and so and so. Is that true?" This televangelist seemed to know what he was talking about. I was listening very carefully to him. Unscrupulous pastors do the very same thing. They call on the sheep of another flock without their shepherd's knowledge and consent to deceive the hearts of the simple. Oh, we don't teach that in our church. We're a loving community. We don't hold people to the scriptures. That isn't the word of God. That's just the heritage of the church. That's kind of a guidebook. Listen to me. They visit them in the hospital when people are on the bed of sickness as a kind of captive audience to them. They offer them pastoral counsel under the guise of spiritual concern and the appearance of Christian helpfulness. This is what I would do if I were you. Listen to me. I have a lot of experience in these things. They lure the children like a spiritual Pied Piper of Hamelin to their whitewashed daycare centers and parochial schools, and in general, they butter them up with good words and fair speeches. Talking the talk, perhaps even walking the walk, to draw away disciples after them, the apostle says, under false pretenses. And that's all that it is, Jesus says. It's a con game being run by a thief and a robber who has made himself a busybody in other men's matters. And that's not my characterization of such pastors. That is the Lord Jesus' own characterization of them. A stranger, Jesus says, will his sheep not follow, but will flee from him. Jesus, of course, assumes here that these are true sheep of his pasture, and that they judge and distinguish a false prophet from a true prophet on the basis of his word, and that they can do that confidently. A true sheep of Jesus will not deliberately follow one whom he recognizes to be a liar and a deceiver, a thief and a robber. And nowadays, the job of distinguishing is a lot easier than it was in the days of the apostolic church because of what we call denominational designations. It's right on the sign outside of the church's door. What true sheep of Jesus, for example, knowing the soul-destroying errors that they hold and propagate, would willingly subject himself to instruction and counsel from cults like the Witnesses of Jehovah? Who, by good words and fair speeches, want to get into your home and to sit down with you at your kitchen table and to expound their scriptures unto you to draw you away from the truth? Who would want to do that? Who would want to be coached and taught and schmoozed by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons? Who, when you get to know them better, you find out they believe that Adam is God. There's no such thing as the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not true God. Who would want to listen to them? How about the Seventh-day Adventists, who basically believe in salvation by the law? That God never abrogated the ceremonies of the Old Testament, but expects us to keep them today if we are true disciples of the Lord Jesus. Who would listen to them? What true sheep of the Lord Jesus would listen to sectarian preachers like the Baptists and the Methodists and the Reformed, Assemblies of God, and so on, which clearly teach identifiably false doctrine contrary to God's word? What true sheep of the Lord Jesus would go to so-called Lutherans of other synods and fellowships of our day and time who depart with impunity from the clear and certain holy scriptures of our God? Restored to them as well as to us by God's grace in the Reformation, who rest their credentials merely on Luther's name. Why, we are Lutherans, the same as you, they say. And they know very well how to tickle your ear with what you want to hear according to your flesh rather than what you need to hear. Such a stranger will they not follow, Jesus tells us. For they know not the voice of strangers. You, as the true sheep of Jesus, should be able to recognize a spiritual stranger danger by the fact that he doesn't speak the same language that you do. 1 Corinthians 1:10. He doesn't speak as the oracles of God. He doesn't speak scripture. He speaks his own mind. He voices ideas and viewpoints contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Romans 16:17. So what does Jesus tell you to do? He says, flee from him. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says in Matthew 7:15. That doesn't mean cozy up to them or give them a hearing. Avoid them. Turn off their programming. Throw out their material. Show them to the door. And do not let them bend your ear when your ear has already judged them for what they are. Don't entrust your children to their care, to play with their trusting little souls and deceive them with their sheep's clothing while you are at work or while you are even home. You are Jesus' sheep, aren't you? Why would you want another shepherd, a false shepherd, to lead you, to spoon-feed your children with spiritual garbage? That is why we do not send our children to heterodox, church-run daycare centers, parochial schools, or even vacation Bible schools, as attractive as their programs might be. It gives our children the wrong impression to drop them off for a false shepherd to play with them or to teach them or to cajole them. Don't forget, brethren, Jesus says in our text, the thief cometh not but for to steal. That's what he's up to. The thief cometh not but to kill and to destroy. A false shepherd's motive is far from being pure. Inwardly, Jesus says, they are ravenous, hungry wolves. Matthew 7:15. False shepherds don't guide and lead sheep. They don't feed and pasture sheep. They eat sheep. And you are on their menu. Do not permit yourself to become a spiritual casualty of your own folly. Don't make the mistake of saying, oh, I talk to a lot of pastors, and I hear this from them, and I hear that from them, but they will never lead me astray. Don't let a smooth-talking false prophet turn you into a statistic. Peter says, beware. Beware, sheep, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You're sheep. You think that you're secure. You think that you know a wolf when you see one. Beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Peter doesn't say that to insult your Christian intelligence. He says that for your own warning and welfare. And he says the same to me that he says to you. I have no business getting together with false shepherds in this neighborhood or in this area to sit down and discuss with them matters of doctrine and practice as if we're in some kind of a negotiation to find out what the truth is. Because I put myself into the very same danger that you put yourselves in if you do likewise. I don't visit other churches, even sit in the back pew and take notes. Why would I want to do such a thing? Instead, Jesus says in our text, identify true shepherds. Hear them, follow them, because through them the good shepherd pastures his sheep. Why? That they might have life. He's interested in our salvation, and that they might have it more abundantly through the faithful preaching and teaching of his precious word. Now, how do you distinguish a true shepherd of the Lord Jesus? Yea, how do you know that your own shepherd, who speaks to you from this very pulpit, is a faithful under-shepherd of the Savior? Jesus says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. With the authorization of Jesus himself, by the call of his Holy Spirit through the local congregation, the call which, when it has been accepted, makes a man a Christian pastor. An under-shepherd of the chief shepherd, an ambassador for Christ. an overseer of the flock, the local steward of the mysteries of God. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out unto the pasture. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And that's the way it's supposed to be, according to the Good Shepherd, who knows his sheep and is known of his sheep. The picture of the sheepfold here in our text represents the whole Christian church on earth with its various flocks and with their respective shepherds. Each shepherd, Jesus says, calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out to graze on the green pastures of God's word. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He walks before them. He leads them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The relationship between a pastor and his people is a relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. The Apostle Paul says to Christian pastors, still today, as he did to the pastors at Ephesus, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Each pastor is to take heed, that is to watch over that flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made him the overseer, not somebody else's flock. And he is to feed that flock, the church of God in that locality, with the pure pasturage of God's word. Peter writes to Christian pastors in his first epistle, chapter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So in order to be able to do that, the pastor has to know his sheep, Jesus says, by name. He has to know who they are so that he knows whom to feed, so that he knows whom to lead to green pasturage, so that he knows whom to take heed unto, and whom to oversee. Likewise, Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice. They recognize him as their shepherd, their God-given shepherd or pastor, when he calls them by name, when he leadeth them out to nourish them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Not just the sound of his voice, they know the content of his voice. They don't only know that he is their pastor, but they know that he's speaking to them in the voice that they understand and recognize as the voice of the chief shepherd, as he preaches and teaches according to the oracles of God and not good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of simple people, simple sheep. For the chief shepherd assures me, and this is both a comfort and a warning, he that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Now, as simple as that statement of the Lord Jesus is, some people either cannot or simply will not understand it. They regard it as just plain arrogant when a pastor cites that passage to show the authority according to which he preaches and teaches as the ambassador of Christ. And some outright refuse to obey him and to submit themselves to his instruction, even though he is charged to watch for their souls as he that not is able to give account, but he that must give account. Sadly, such stubborn sheep are really despising their own Savior and his word and the office of the word which he has set up for their own feeding and oversight. And the fact that their pastor will have to give account for such people with grief when the sheep chief shepherd comes again on the last day will be unprofitable, not for the shepherd, but it will be unprofitable for them, the Bible tells us. Oh, may that never be the case with you, my dear sheep, my dear lambs. But may you always, by his grace, show yourselves to be both willing and eager at all times to heed the voice of your good shepherd, your incomparably perfect chief shepherd of the sheep, in the preaching and teaching of him whom the Holy Ghost has made your overseer in the Lord and your mouthpiece of the Savior as his steward. Try the shepherds, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. What we preach must be the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth, if you are in good conscience to continue to hear our voice. The Lord's apostle begs you in Jesus' name. We beseech you, brethren, we beg you to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul writes to the Corinthians. That's what we preach. That's what we teach. And may it ever be so. God grant such blessed attentiveness to the voice of our good shepherd through the preaching and teaching of his precious word, that we might have life according to his promise, that we might have eternal life in the heavenly sheepfold, purchased and won for us by our precious Savior in his vicarious atonement, which we preach. That we might have for ourselves that reconciliation with God that Christ purchased for us in his redemptive work. That we may have the confidence of knowing that he is our good shepherd, that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his own hand, who hear his voice and gladly listen to Christ crucified and the full truth of his word. God grant that to you and to me and to all of us, for his precious name's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.